Information is the best medicine, especially when it comes from Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille. Here's their show. It's your health, and it ain't rocket science.
All right, we're going to talk about food again, and I love this subject. Why? Because, you know what, I got to say, food is so much in our society. I mean, it certainly is comfort. It can be celebratory. It is very social, like, hey, let's go out and meet for a drink and an appetizer. It can be religious. It also, I love to use food as medicine. And I think it also can be used as poison, right? So I also say about food, Dr. Decker, that food can be causative and it can be curative. But we're going to talk today about what kind of foods we're eating that is actually causing harmful, not harmful aging, that sounds weird. I would say accelerated aging. How's that?
I think accelerating is there, and things that are unnecessary. It's not necessary to feel old before your time. It's not necessary to look old before your time, right?
Certainly not promoting health and certainly not preventing disease processes as we age.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know about you, but I'm 47. We're about the same age. And we feel pressure to produce an output just as much as we did when we were 27. And I'll have the same pressure to produce an output and do all that stuff when I'm 67 and maybe 77. It's just different. And so it's not just aging to make sure we look good in a swimsuit. It's aging also probably to make a living. I mean, we don't know if Medicare is going to be there for us. We don't know what retirement plans are going to be there for us. I'm planning on being able to make a living as long as I'm upright. And this involves what we eat.
I think that's such a great point, because not only make a living, but also I think the most cost-effective healthcare is to just not get sick. So we really are talking about prevention.
Yeah, we are talking about it. And let's start looking at some of these foods that we want to talk about. Now, look, I always do this with food, Holly. The sicker you are, the more restrictive your diet has to be. But that's when they're coming into my office and they need medical advice. So if somebody has critical cancer or their heart is very, very sick, their rules, exceptions, rare occasions are very different than somebody that has overall good health. So, but except for with this caveat, except if you want to live long and be really healthy over time. So meaning that I'll never say to somebody, well, you can eat fast food 3 times a week because you don't have any chronic medical conditions. No, I don't have a specific medical need for you to do it, but I have an anti-aging and I have a health reason for your future not to eat it. Am I stumbling there, Holly? I mean, you have a way of simplifying that stuff.
No, I think you're right on. You know, and you say when folks, the sicker they are, the more restrictive their diet is. Well, guess what? I think that's true. The more restrictive of some things, but also the more proliferative it could be in other things. And I think one of the things that's so important when asking people to actually restrict their diet is to teach them what else. But you've got a list of things actually that we should pull out of our diet and restrict, avoid for the most part, to curb this sort of pro-aging process. What are they?
Well, some of them are going to be obvious, but I'm also going to give you solutions on what to use instead. The first thing is trans fats and hydrogenated oils. I'm a cardiologist. We're all about the fats. The heart feeds on fats. When somebody cooks something in canola oil and they take it in their body, literally rancid fats are running through your arteries and veins. Why wouldn't you get heart disease? And fats are complex. They're either good for you or bad for you. There is nothing in the middle. Udo Rasmus wrote a wonderful book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, and he's exactly right. Unfortunately, there's no okay fats. So with that, you use butter and then a healthy form of lard are the safe things to cook with. If you are vegetarian, look at the more saturated oils like coconut and macadamia. Second is what I say is industrialized grains, Holly. So I'm not just going to talk about high fructose corn syrup. That's bad. That's a product of industrial grains. We should not be eating it. This is white flour, white sugar, white rice. White rice, even though it's rice, it has no business being in our diet. It is absence of minerals, absence of nutrients, absence of any of that stuff. So white flour, white sugar at rice, but take it all, anything industrialized. So I'm not completely anti-grain. I think that there's quinoas and amaranth. Where are you standing on grains right now? Because, Holly, it's dynamic, isn't it?
It's absolutely dynamic. As many, I think, different thoughts out there regarding diet and philosophies and such. But for me, it's you know, I hate to generalize sometimes because I do treat very individually. For the most mm-hmm. part, you know, when I was tracking the science and we were indexing the research regarding wheat, and it's not just a fad in wheat in this country, using the dwarf type of wheat that's been heavily genetically modified, proven mm-hmm. to be causing acute and chronic illnesses. You know, for some of my patients, we went wheat-free. And for some of them, guess what? We went on to be grain-free because corn gluten and certainly processed corn is kind of just as nasty. And so a lot of my patients will do better when we pull out all grains. Some people are able to tolerate the more digestible, higher protein, less carbohydrate type grains like millet and quinoa. And so we just kind of fuss around with it a little bit. And what I tell people to do, which is the ultimate of do no harm, to find out is, hey, for 2 weeks, why don't you just go ahead and go grain free? Just go for 2 weeks and then add some things back. Idea. And let's just see how you feel.
Yeah, good idea. Again, individualizing it, which is always the key. And that's why I don't want everybody in the world to be grain free, but these industrialized grains are a real big problem. Again, generally wheat, corn, soy is where those fit in. Sodas have no business. And I know there's bio natural sodas, but even then it might be a cane sugar with this. It just, the problem is that we are using soda instead of water quite often. And that's where the rub is. Soda might be a natural soda maybe is a treat once in a while. Yes. But especially the diet sodas and all that. And I know that having a segment about diet sodas, that's so nonchalant. But my God, we are not going to make progress in this country with getting rid of chronic disease if we are using sodas as fuel. And then processed foods, alcohol, especially if you have any liver disease, soy-based foods as well. I'm going to get a blog on this up in Radio MD in the next week or so, so there'll be a list. And I'm also going to give substitutes for this. Holly, I'm sure I'm missing some things, iceberg lettuce and stuff. What else is on your list? What kind of foods aid you?
I would say fried foods, and one of the, I mean, listen, I was having dinner the other night with somebody, and we were talking about food in general, and we were talking about food, so I did a backflip over fried zucchini, and they're like, you? And I was like, are you kidding? I said, my final meal, if I was ever offered one, is going to be fried zucchini and ranch dressing, absolutely. And they looked at me like I had six heads. Oh, yeah. And it's not that I don't like it. Are you kidding? That stuff is amazing. I love it. You could fry a finger and I would eat it. I think anything fried. I just have that constitution. It's just that I know better, so I choose better. And once every year, I have to tell you, once every year, it's on Thanksgiving. We go down dancing on Thursday night, and we stop. I'm so embarrassed to say this, but we stop at the International House of Pancakes on the way home, and I order onion rings. It's my thing. Every single, it's my like thing. And I just to make myself feel better, I get a side of broccoli, which is the gray broccoli that's out of the, you know, it's frozen broccoli that they blanch within an inch of its life. But so fried foods, mostly because it causes oxidative stress, right? So anytime you look at oil that is heated and or oil that is left to the oxygen or set out, it's rancid. And so increase in oxidative stress, you're going to have increase in cellular damage, and then you're going to age more rapidly. So I would definitely add my lovely, don't eat it, but love it fried food to that list as well.
So you also think about your last meal. I thought I was the only one that ever thought about it. No. I thought it was a little creepy and dark that I thought about my last meal, because I thought about maybe I'd like sushi, but sushi in prison. The last thing I want to do is die and have nausea.
No, that's right. So I love this topic, though. I mean, I think it's awesome. So we're talking about, you know, food can be causative and curative, and we're talking about can cause disease or cure disease. But we're talking about prevention. It's definitely a great cost-effective healthcare measure. It's just don't get sick. You can work for the rest of your life and stay healthy, because we're talking about big government issues. So what do we want to do? We got to start getting the trans fats out of there, the white family, the industrialized grains, rice, flour, sugar, those that are white. Get the soda out, wheat, corn, soy, the fried foods, and make sure your food's really colorful. And number one, or not number one, but that's up there, you got to stay hydrated. So use food as medicine, and that's how you stay well on Radio MD.